here to the ones that were not here this morning. I really enjoy it. There's some things, excellent things about Brother Derek and Brother Cyril, am I right? Brother Pigeon English, Cyril, brother, thank you. And there were some excellent things said. I went to my room and I sit there and meditate what was said, and I want to thank them for it. And also, I had the privilege to meet Sister, Brother Derek's wife, a sister, and I appreciate her so much. I pray so the Lord will bless her. We forget the responsibility of the pastor's wife, but you know, sometimes they get all the dirt. They're in a fishbowl. Everybody looks at them. You don't move, you get a blame. You move, you get a blame. So you don't know what to do. That's how it goes, right? I'm going to have a very simple topic, but also very, very important that you can study probably when you go home. Because I don't think we should get to any conflicting subjects, you know that? We don't have to prove ourselves to nobody. It's what the best way that we can be closer to the Lord, that's what counts. I have never found in the scriptures or in the message that you have to know all the mysteries to make the rapture. But I have found out that says that if we know Him, we'll be there. A man asked me one time, he says, how do you know you're in the bride? I said, that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in my mortal body, I'll be there. That's simple, isn't it? And you see, the prophet led us to do that. But sometimes we're running ahead of the Lord and everybody else because we want to go deep. And simplicity is the best thing that you can try to recognize. Brother Derek was speaking this morning about a leaf who make that life. Before I left, my wife and I, we went for a little shopping, and she said, let's have an ice cream cone. Sounds like two little kids. But you know, a simple ice cream cone. I said, you know, we are together, right? Something, little thing. But it's not the ice cream cone. It's because you are together to do something together. Little things. And I'm thankful to the Lord for that. If we were studying some, I believe I see in the scriptures three big evil powers in the scriptures. We're not going to talk about them. Balaam, Korah, and Cain. And I believe probably 95% of everything that happens to disturb the church of God comes out of these three evil things. I have done a study over 700 pages now on Balaam, and I'll never finish. Because from Balaamism, you see, you know what Balaam means in Hebrew? Bel and Alam, the two words, who means conquering the people. The conquering of the people, Baal-Alam. And from Balaamism came antinomism. Antinomism, antis, against, nomos is the law. That means we don't believe in the law, we're under grace, we do anything we want to. And from there came the Nicolaitans. You try to study in your dictionary the Nicolaitans, you won't go too far. But if you start back from Balaam, you find out what it's talking about. And in these three evil powers today, I know we live in an hour that you cannot discuss or preach these things because the people need something more to sustain them because they're going to get beat up too bad. But we live in an hour now that these things are piling up and piling up and piling up. And we're looking ourselves the direction we go. And we say, Lord, what is going to happen to the new generation if there's a few more years left? Look at the young people. They're striving. They're back among the young people again. I love them. But they're striving, something in them pushes them to just, I know what's right. I know what's wrong. I heard the message, but who is that power to make me fulfill it? You know, that's where they stand. Where is the power to make the young man or the young lady dedicated to God to go on with the Lord? And I think we should go back to our knees and keep on praying. You know, we philosophize a lot, but we have so little to offer sometimes. I was reading a confidential report of the U.S. government written by Mr. Magnino of Stanford University. And Mr. Magnino wrote that report, and he said, I probably recorded it, I don't know what I'm saying. He said that they make a survey, the time in Guyana, that they, you remember Jones, that killed all these people, you remember that? They make a survey of the people that were left back in the States, Los Angeles, San Francisco, the Bay Area, and so on. What make these people not to go? And they came on to one conclusion. When they interview each one of them, they were able to see that these people can tell the difference between claims and practices. You think what we're saying? We claim to be the bride. Do we have it? You know, it's humiliating, isn't it? Because we need something more. Tonight I'd like to get something very simple, and I know that the simplicity of it, don't let it deceive you. Because some people say, Brother David, go deep. People bring the doctrines and dump them, spirits, and then the pastors have to clean it up. But I like for us to look something. I have a friend that's a general contractor. He builds commercial buildings, large hotels, and so on. And a little while back, we had breakfast together, and I asked him, I said, you have so many plans. Sometimes I see the plans, they roll them, they're about that big of a roll to build a big hotel. I said, what about with all these people that are working here? They don't have the same ruler, the same tape. What do you think is going to happen? He just put his hand like that. He says, that's it. It's over. Can you imagine now if I had a ruler that my 1 inch can be that long and yours can be that long, somebody else can be that long, and try to build the same building, how the building is going to look like. And God makes up provisions in His Word. And in these provisions of His Word, I'm writing things down so to stay with it, not to spread myself too thin and get into subject that I shouldn't get. A brother asked me one time, what's the percent of the study that you do and give out? That's 5% out, 95% for me, because I need it. But God, one day, it amazed me something, because things happen that later on you go back, you say, why this happened? I remember one time I picked up Brother Branham and I was driving to take him to preach the tape, Path of Life. He refers to that tape about that. And I know better than that. I was driving and I don't say a word. Hello, that's it, and I'm driving. Because before the service, you don't want to talk about anything. You want to leave him alone. Because you can disturb, you know, the spirit. You can say sometimes pastors don't want to talk to anybody before the service. So when we drove a little while, we were in Anaheim, California. We were going to Los Angeles in that synagogue to preach. He was looking around, you know, like that. I didn't say anything. I was driving. Probably I was speeding a little bit. So he put his head on my shoulder. He says, David, that's what, Brother Graham. He said, you see these fields there? It was the Firestone buildings there. I said, yes. He says they can plant potatoes and onions and everything else. If any man ever tells you to go and pick up an onion there, he says, don't do it. Just pray first and seek the Lord. And I fail many times to pick up this, to pick up that, without considering, is this my business, what I'm supposed to be doing? If you know you are calling an election, you'll never fall. People want to do the pastor's work, the deacon's work, and this work. By the time we get through, who is called anyway? We stop and look. But God's word is so perfect. That's the most stable thing that you can have. And in that tape, Brother Bram speaks of the mist, Christ, the mystery of God being revealed. He mentions about three things you must not misinterpret. All of us, we want to say, I didn't do it. But sometimes we do it. Sometimes probably might take a sermon to try to preach to somebody and hit somebody or somebody else. And that's not God. The next thing he says, you must not misplace. To misinterpret is to give the wrong interpretation. The second one, you must not misplace, means to put it in the wrong place. Instead of this belonging here, you put it there. You know, sometimes you can splice things to feed our taste. But we have to consult the Word of God first. And it shouldn't be any contradiction, whatever we do, from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. If we can do that, we'll be very happy. So the third thing that he spoke, we must not dislocate the word. That means to put out of its proper place. We shouldn't be doing these things. Because sooner or later, we're going to pay for it. Because if the ruler is not right and the building is going up, the building is going to be twisting like that. Do you know? What about if somebody comes and says, oh, the next room was 10 feet. Let's do this one too. Probably that 10 foot. Probably it's not. It's 12. It's holding something all the time. It's so tender. And God, now in his word, starts instructing us and says, don't do that, because truth is the only thing that the only place that we can find truth is in God. It's the quality of God. Now you say, Brother David, God put something more there later. You see, if you try to touch perfection, it wasn't perfect to begin with. Amen. Anything you add or delete and you say, now I improve it, it wasn't perfect to begin with. And you can very easily say it wasn't God somewhere in the whole thing. Because God is perfect. It's good to know that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, isn't it? You see, the greatest privilege that you have as a Christian, you know what it is? It's not what you think, but it's to be able to kneel right on your bed, 3 o'clock in the morning, and pray to him with no mediator, except Christ, straight to Christ. You lose that. What am I supposed to do? Call the deacon. The deacon is not there. It's an emergency. Call the pastor. Call somebody overseas and so on. But you know, Jesus is available all the time. That's the greatest privilege you can have. We don't know the little things we got. That's very big sometimes. So this truth that we have, to know that truth, we're hindered, or they're controlled, should I say, by two things. Number one is revelation. Number two is time. You know there's time for everything? There's time that God has to reveal something. We say, no, right now, I got it. But probably you haven't got it. And I like to probably to quote a couple of these scriptures to create a background. I'm trying to be simple for the most simple people. Deuteronomy 12:32 says, what things soever you shall command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. He says, leave it alone. Right? Just leave it alone. Don't touch it. If it says something like that, believe it. Often said to the people, I don't care how much you backslide. I don't care, you can be down on the dirt. Never deny the word. Never compromise the word, because if you don't, you have a place to go. If you water it down, you have no place to go. Isn't it beautiful? That we can go back to it without having to worry about anything. He's there. He's always the same. So when I start looking at this, that he says, now, we shouldn't do anything like that. In Proverbs 30:5-6, he says this, every word of God is pure. Has no pollution in it. Have you ever been in a state, you read a scripture and it hurts you and you go somewhere else? Well, that's. Let me read something a little easier probably, you know. That's you face yourself with it, and you know you're guilty, and you're still running. Or you close your Bible and says, I did my religion. But God deals with you. And there's a purity in that word. He says, every word of God is pure. He says, he's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his word, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And liars, remember, don't go to heaven. So you got to leave it alone. I'm glad for that. You know why? Because what about if my forefathers had the right to move these things around? I would be in a mess today, right? You see, you're taking the scriptures away, and you don't know where you stand. Now, one more in Ecclesiastes, he says, I know that whatsoever God doth, it shall be forever. In other words, there's no time. When God speaks about something, that's going to be. That's what's going to happen. So you have a faith on that, right? You don't sit around and say, what about if God changed his mind and this verse is no good anymore? No, this verse is very good. And when we start looking, he says, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken away from it. And God doth it, and man should fear before him. It's time element, isn't it? He says, don't touch it. And sometimes you might not understand it at all. Now I'm preparing for something. One time a great prophet, Daniel, you cannot study Daniel without revelation. Daniel and revelation travel together. Daniel sees great visions. You know, he saw the whole dispensation of time from the beginning to the end just about. And he asked about it. He says, and I heard, but I understood not. Because a prophet gets a vision and writes it down, doesn't mean he understands it. And said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? He wants to know. And I want to know. But God has a time clock for everything to happen. And God answers, and he said, go thy way, Daniel. With other words, mind your business. For the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. So there's something has to open at the end. You say, Brother David, can he say them this? You see, in the whole Daniel book is the Israel. Zechariah and Daniel put it together. You're going to see there, that's the returning of Israel back home. What about if the Arabs knew that the Israelites were going to do what they did? You think they would allow them that piece of land to go to them when they gave it to them? Never. But God sealed it. So nobody knows it. Except God. When you see that sealing, now, we have the Old Testament, let's say it's right here, and we look at the Old Testament, and we say there are so many things in it, the sacrifices of the law, and you can break it probably into three parts, the law, Moses, and Psalms. And you see there, and the whole mystery of God is there. And all of a sudden, we see somebody coming. What's his name? Jesus. He was born in a little barn. We look at him, was born of a virgin. He just didn't decide to come down and said, now, I'm going to do this and do that and do that. No, he already said what he was going to do in the Old Testament. The New Testament, my friend, is concealed in the Old. And the New Testament reveals the Old. So we don't have two Bibles. What's the matter with us? We have one Bible, one God, one Word of God. So I'm looking right here, the Old Testament, and I put the New next, and that New was in there. Now it's coming the fulfillment time. And we look at Jesus, and he says, Jesus, I want to ask you something. Tell me what's happening now. What are you supposed to do? He didn't say, I'm going to add a little more. I'm God, I can't do anything I want to. He's God, he can't do anything he wants to. But he put the parameters there, and he says, I came not to break, but to fulfill. Correct? He said to these people, look, Pharisees. You see, I have it for the Pharisees, so I better get out of it. He says, look, Pharisees, search the scriptures. They are that testify of me. He didn't say, look, I'm Jesus, you better be good. And I'm telling you what to do. And I have the power to perform miracles. He just left them alone. Do you know how the wisdom of God brushed over the Pharisees? The Pharisees, you know, knew everything. They knew the word. They were the message boys. So they went to Jesus one time. They watched him and says, how come you eat with the publicans and the sinners? You know, they didn't realize they need more Jesus than they did. They didn't realize that. Religious spirits, like I said, it's the worst spirits to deal with. And listen how Jesus brushed them off. He says, I came for the sinners. He didn't tell them they are good. They thought that what Jesus meant, they are good and they are bad, so he came for them, leave them alone. Brushed them off. Look what happened. The woman, they dragged her down from the hair and put her in the middle, in the circle. This is, we found that woman in the very act of adultery. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you have your father the devil. He called them devils. He called them serpents. And now God, with their insanity that they were leading a woman to be saved and they didn't even know it. I like that simple gospel, don't you? You know, try to figure out everything, what's going to happen. Just let God take care of it anyway. What am I supposed to do? Do this, don't do that. You should just hold for a minute. So Jesus says, I came not to break the law or the prophets, but to fulfill it. What is it to fulfill? The word plirono, who means there was a deficit right here. If I'm God, and I said it's going to be a tree with 5,000 leaves, I have to come down and put a tree with 5,000 leaves. So we know that's God, right? He cannot say, now I'm going to put, let's say, a star in the middle of Gisborne. And if he's not doing it, he's not God. Ek plirono, plirono, pay the deficit. There was a deficit in the Old Testament. And he comes to fulfill it. And he fulfills it. And he says, even one iota, one tittle, one jot will not be, what is a jot? A little comma. An upper period or a low period. Now, people don't understand. I was telling a couple of brothers, you see, the scripture was not written the way that we think. There were no spaces between the words, like the Odyssey of Homer. And if you look the Odyssey, and if you look the scriptures, they have diacritical marks. And what you have here, a jot, is a little comma, upper comma or upper period or lower period. It means a complete thought or it needs the rest of it to make it a complete thought. And on the top is like a little antenna, different accents. You know that? There are no spaces between the words. I remember when I had to memorize the Odyssey and I used to go, Andra, mi, enepe, musa, politropon, osmala, pola. You see, the notes on the top, there's music, there's emphasis, there's everything in the scriptures because it's a perfection in the scriptures. So he says, I'm coming over to fulfill it. And now he said to them, think not that I'm come to destroy the law of the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, you know, heavens and earth will pass away without being fulfilled. Now, here's the Old Testament, and here's the need to fulfill it. Everybody looks at him, the Pharisees with the big garments and go around and so on. And remember, the cuspid unto himatiu means at the bottom of the garments, at the ends of the garments, they call them, right here on the neck and at the bottom. That cuspid was a ribbon, and they were whiting it more and more. And if you go back to the Old Testament at the time of Korah, when Korah rose up, God says, put the people of Israel to put a border at the end of their garments so they don't see one upon another and go whoring, he said to them. And Korah rose up. He says, these people are holy. What's the matter with you, Moses? So you see what Brother Bram was preaching about. Don't wear shorts. It was way back there. You can get in some things on that. So now we see he didn't come to destroy the law. And now we see the whole thing now is developing something. Here's the Old Testament. Here's the New. The people look around. What's all about? What's happening? Correct? I mean, what is it? How many Bibles? Do we throw this away and keep this? Or throw both of them away for wait for another one to come? So God calls a man by the name Paul. And Paul had the revelation. Now you say, Brother David, tell me what happened with Paul. Paul now was kind of a character anyway, any way you look at it. And Paul knew the Old Testament. No doubt that he was very familiar with Exodus 20, 2 and 3. And he looked back there, he says, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of the bondage. He says, thou shalt not have other gods before me. Remember, the Lord thy God. So the man stopped persecuting the church. You know why? He was holding this. And he couldn't see that this is the fulfillment of this. He couldn't see it. He says, what are you talking about, you guys, persecuting them? On the road to Damascus now, Paul was going pretty mad. He has ordered from the high priest, get this bunch of the message and put them in prison. So he goes up there on the road to Damascus. A light appears to him. Remember, it was a light from heaven. He knew that that light was the Logos. He knew that light was the angel of the covenant. He knew it real good. He says, Lord, he acknowledged it, did he? He says, who are thou? He says, I'm Jesus, that you persecute. What happened? Paul says, what? That's the Old Testament, Jehovah? The new is fulfilled now, and I'm blind, I don't see it? He didn't tell him to go have a potluck. You just go see what you're going to suffer for my name. Following the Lord is not an easy road. It's a rough road. So God pulls him on the side. Starts showing him now. In Galatians 1. Listen now, something in Galatians 1. That came to my mind. Might as well bring it up. Galatians 1, the 11th verse. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. You don't get revelation from anybody except God. Correct? And if it confuses you, leave it alone. That's the criteria. You know why? God works in such a simplicity. The people are fussing and arguing. A little woman in the corner probably has the only dress she got. A little old lady, poor lady, raises up her hands and knows Jesus and talks to him. The rest of them are arguing. That's how God works. The little things. So now we start having a word revelation. Says, Brother David, what is revelation? Revelation is apocalypse. Calypto, the verb, means cover. Apocalypse to remove the veil. If I had a piece of cloth and I cover this Bible and I don't know what's underneath, somebody says, this is this, this is this, this is that. What happened? One time somebody comes and removes the veil. He says, oh, praise the Lord. It's right here. But remember, Revelation never adds or takes away from this book. Just remember that. You see, we don't put a new Bible when we have Revelation. The veil is removed to see the mysteries in this Bible. The people think different. You ask somebody, how you feel? Oh, I got the revelation, brother. You got the revelation? Yeah. What's the revelation? I feel it. You don't go like that. When God showed you something, he says, here it is, brother. No question about it. Correct? And God has to reveal it to you. An example is, God had explained in Chicago what Brother Branham took, the Trinity doctrine, and base it right there. And after all, I admire that tape. You know why? You go to the original manuscript, Eusebius, manuscripts there, and you know what you're going to find? That was the biggest penetration that the Catholic Church had done to the Bible. Because it's not in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's in His name. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost doesn't appear. But even with that, by the Holy Ghost took it and put it together. I love that, don't you? I love that. So now we're talking about Revelation. So Paul starts seeing, oh, this Jehovah the Old, the high priest, Aaron, here is Jesus our high priest. Here is the sacrifice, our sacrifice once forever. Here is the tabernacle, here it is. Here is his birth, Isaiah 53. Here it's fulfilled. Constantly the whole Bible opens to him. And he writes 13 epistles. What did he say there? Listen to what he said there. They got Paul. They persecute him now because he became a Christian. He appears before King Agrippa. And he says, I shall answer for myself. I like that. Because you know what? When God reveals you something, you have the revelation of it, right? You know? Eternity can mess you up financially and everything else anyway. You see? So let me ask it. He says, and now I stand and I'm judged for what? For the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. Look here, King Agrippa. Here is the promise of our fathers, and here is Jesus fulfilling it. How do you like that gospel? Correct? Amen. It's right there. I love it. It's right there. He says, now, what I see there about our prophets and so on, the promises are right here. And now, because I see it, you persecute me. What have I done anyway? You see, his eyes were open. No matter how far close you can push revelation, the people will say, they look at you, well, almost he persuaded me. Because God has to reveal it. God has to reveal it. So Paul now continues and he says, which thing I also did in Jerusalem? Many saints he saw persecuted, I put them into prison. Having received the authority from the priests, he goes the whole history right there. He says, look what I've done. I'm the persecutor. Can you imagine us sitting in this big room now? King Agrippa there. I don't know how many high priests were at the time. The scripture says supposed to be one high priest at the time. I was sitting there with our big bellies, you know, hanging around, you know. Looking at Paul. Can you imagine? And Paul looks at them. This is what he tells them. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other thing than those which the prophet Moses did say would come. That's a terrible statement to challenge somebody. What I say, it's there. What you guys say right there, I see being fulfilled right here. This New Testament is concealed in the Old. I love that, don't you?
Amen.
I love that. We don't have two Bibles. We have Jehovah speaking and revealing. That's it. Paul now gets the revelation. Apocalypse, Kalima, Kalipto, Apo, the removal of the veil, so he can see that the Jesus of the new is the Jehovah of the old. And he starts speaking about it. When he saw this, he didn't say, let's start now a seminary. No, he disappeared. He went to Arabia for 3 years. You know what I believe he saw there? He got a revelation of the cross. Paul was not an audience to the cross. Paul was in Christ. He says, I am crucified with Christ. I live, I don't live anymore, but Christ liveth in me. Today he said, Jesus died for you. But I have a better statement for you. I'm in Jesus when he died. He carried me with that body. I rose up with him potentially. I'm sitting in heavenly places. He sent me back the Spirit as a confirmation of the sacrifice in the day of Pentecost that I'm going to be with him. People say, don't be Pentecostal. But let me tell you something. A sacrifice is not a sacrifice without its evidence. Cain make a sacrifice and Abel. And God says, I was not pleased with Cain. But on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came back, the Spirit of Christ to the church, he says, the sacrifice has been accepted. The whole thing is completed. It's done. The church starts and moves from there. I love the word, don't you?
Amen.
So much there. Simple. So now we look what Paul has done. We see what revelation, and make four statements probably. Revelation, to add or to take away what the veil has covered, it's wrong. You see, if I have a cloth here, and revelation means to remove the veil, the removal of the veil doesn't change the content. Paul says about revelation of Jesus Christ in Galatians. He means now the veil was removed and I can see who Jesus is. The Jesus of the new is the Jehovah of the old. Now I got the revelation with that word. The veil was removed. I can see. Here it's in the scripture. Genesis, all the way down. Going on and on and on and on. So Paul now starts, keep on going. The next thing he says, to change the order of the content, the revelation doesn't do it. Just removes the veil till you hear it is. Don't think you have to be educated or anything to have revelation. God reveals himself to whom he will. That's it. Never underestimate anybody. God can be speaking to the little ones without even knowing it. The next thing is, you cannot misapply revelation. You have to stay there. Where the scripture says, that's what you do. Let me illustrate for a minute. Is it okay with you? Make it more clear. If you go through the messages, you find out about the baptism of the Holy Spirit that has been a tremendous question to many people. But you put that volume out about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I got more calls. The book now is out of print. I don't know what to do and so on. But in a statement, Brother Branham says you receive the Holy Ghost without cessation. Do you remember that? He didn't say after you receive it, to receive it. Because before, you used to jerk somebody's chin up and down, say hallelujah, 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 then you got it. He says, you don't put yourself in a sensation to receive it. Where do you put yourself? On the promise. Right? God said so. How do you know? God said so. And when God pulls you, young person and older, that you need something, cherish that. I was talking to an executive of a university that probably the materials are all over the world and here about house schooling and so on. Very nice, clean man. Gentle. I love that man. I said to him, I want to pick up some of the materials to do some Sunday school materials for the kids. You know, you have done the work. I went to screen them. I said, what kind of contradiction you had when you put these materials out? We don't have any. I said, oh, you must have some kind of feedback. What is it? Oh, he says, two areas. He says, the millennium and the speaking in tongues. So he looked at me for a minute. I just waited. He said to me, David, do you believe like these people do, stand up and speak in tongues and scream? I knew where he was coming in a second. I says, look, brother, I said to him, I said, I know what you say, but I believe that the Holy Spirit speaks in tongues. About prophesying you're talking about, there's an order about the tongues, there's an order about prophecy. I says, look, Anna, the prophet was in the temple. I cannot deny that. Correct? She was there. So he said to me, is the Holy Ghost the same thing that you believe in Acts 2 and Corinthians? I says, the same spirit, different function. He says, do you believe the Holy Ghost in Acts 2 is what? Speaking in tongues? I says, no. It's the evidence of the sacrifice of the cross. He looked at me. And I said, after all, you know, remember, these people are strong predestination people. And I said, after all, you have to remember one thing. When God promises something, he's going to do it. He says, absolutely, he said to me. Then I come back to him. I said, for this promise unto you and to your children and to them that's far off. For you. He said to me, but David, he said. I says, probably you have never been called. He said to me, what do you mean I've never been called to get it? I says, the scriptures after that, as many as the Lord God called. We don't like to face it, but it's there. Right? It's there. He got white in his face. He said to me, David, let's get together and study. I says, it's there. If you have a spark in your heart, you ask for it. He's going to feel it. No pastor can open your mouth and stick the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your mouth and speak in tongues. No, God has to do it. So the Holy Ghost has been a big puzzle. Coming back to the young people. Last year, the camp must have been about 450 young people there. And, you know, was Brother Sias preaching, and he invited them to come in the front to pray. And I normally come and sit there, standing, and I don't go down and start shaking people up. You know, that's not right. I just wait, and if the Lord leads somebody to be prayed for, I'd go there and pray. Probably I kneel next to them and pray. So when I was standing there, a young lady comes back the young people I'm talking, come by like that. She says, Brother David, I said, yes. Can I see you? I said, sister, I have an altar call here. I'm trying to help the minister. She said to me, I need to see you right now. You know, right away I said, I better brush her off. But I said, no, let me see what she has to say. So she says, can we go outside for a minute? I said, why are you taking me anyway? About a 26-year-old young lady. So went outside a big barracks. Outside of the door, she looked at me. Like that, clean. I live the life of holiness, Brother David. I look at her, from anything that I see, she lived it. She says, I live and I know God dwells in me. I want to ask you something. Some friends of mine said to me that unless I go down and prostrate myself on the altar, I don't have it. What do you think? I said, ask your pastor. I don't want to get involved because I get a bunch of mail later. You know, nobody wants that. It's not only the time to answer, it's the argument. I just don't want it. I said, sister, ask your pastor. She said to me, I don't have a pastor. I live in a town. My father is an officer of the Navy or something. And I don't have a pastor. And she said, we'll get some tapes from a brother. And we listen to them, and that's what we do. I said, sister, why don't you write him and see what he has to say? She looked at me again. She said, I'm asking you. I said, wow, that kid is straight. She's not messing around. It wasn't because she wanted to be mean, but I was sincere. And when somebody's sincere, you just stand still. The daughter of God is speaking. You better watch it. I said to her, sister, look, any answer that I will give you, if I don't have the scripture, I won't give it to you. I'm not going to say, this. I know Brother Branham said in Azusa Street, and my own father was in Azusa Street. That's my descent. So I said, sister, I tell you one thing. You need another microphone, Brother Cyril. This is no good. So, it doesn't even work. You can hear me anyway, right? Okay, praise the Lord. So, I said to her, I'll have to give you scriptures. You know why? Revelation, when you have it, you better show the content in the scriptures and don't hang revelation splicing quotes together. You make doctrines that then you come back to the scriptures and it won't fit. Do you know that? So she said to me, he looked me back in the face, said to me, that's what I want. Wow, I said, that kid is mean to me. I said, sister, let's open our Bibles and let's look for a minute. And I remember, we're standing outside, right, these two big doors on the side. I says, let's look and open your Bible. You might be able to see something there. Because one side, Brother Bram says, jump up and down, speaking tongues and do this. And he says, devil speaking tongues and so on. The other side, there's Azusa Street people, praise God, speaking tongues. You know what I'm saying, right, both sides. So the girl had a point. She wasn't an overnighter. I said, let's go to Acts to see what happened. And if you'd like to open your Bible with me for a minute, I'll take you to Acts, the second chapter. Acts 2. Seventeenth verse. And it shall come to pass, of course, that's also Joel 2:28 and 29. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. I said, sister, remember this. There's nothing good in that flesh. She said to me, I realize that. That's Romans. Right away. Remember, it says all flesh, A-L-L. That's Catholic charismatics, Presbyterian charismatics, message charismatics, any charismatic that falls upon the flesh. All of us who have flesh, right? You react different than I do. I might be crying, you might be, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. You see, we cannot have a framework for everybody. You know that? And God never gave me the volume to say how much you're going to scream or not scream. That's God's volume. Leave it alone. Some people will cry to me. The only thing I care, get the general Holy Ghost. That's all. The rest of it's God's business. You say, listen, sister. I says, and I will pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. And your young men shall see visions, your old men shall see dreams. I says, listen to what it says. And your sons and your daughters, and God makes no claims of his people. He gives them their rain without the seed. It's your sons, not my sons. It's your daughters, not my daughters. The rain is falling. Remember the spoken word, the original seed that time? As now we have a third part there. And on my servants, that means doulos, who means slaves, and my handmaidens and my slave women, I will pour out my spirit in these days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I said, remember, now God makes a claim here. They are my slaves. They are mine. But when he comes to the reign, He gives it to the one that's your sons, your daughters. And now God says, this is mine, my sons, my slaves, my slave women. Not only men, women too. She looked at me and says, oh, God. It wasn't like that. Went against the wall. I said, I got to go. Enough is enough. I got to go. I hear her screaming and crying. Oh, my God. He's going outside now. Going around the building. I says, what happened to that kid? And then I come in there. You know, I said, I better don't have the curiosity to look. Leave her alone. But the only thing I got here, oh, my God, crying. You see, if we take all the things that Brother Branham said and look at the scriptures, he didn't add or take away. He revealed it. Do you see what I'm talking about? He revealed it. But the first person comes around, Brother Branham said this. But he said a lot more. The next one, Brother Branham said this. And then we try to splice quotes and get a computer. By the time we get a computer, I'm sorry, I believe in reference and I pioneer the concordance work. But the computer sometimes has become a curse instead of a blessing. We cannot anymore, seems to me like, take the truth and go back to the original to see what he's revealing. But to take revelation, grab the cloth, and all of us who are running try to splice the cloth together. No wonder we're in trouble. No wondering we're in trouble. A man said to me, Brother David, what do you think is going to finish the whole thing? I said, study Jehovah's Witness doctrine. That's what they're going to do anyway, one after the other. Just study that. Study the doctrine of Jehovah's Witness. The title of the doctrines, you shall know the truth. And you find out they're doing the same thing constantly. Revelation, friends, doesn't add or take away. So they went to Brother Branham, the people. And we start looking here, Brother Branham, of course, look at them, said things. Let me give you something to remember from the scriptures. For they that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, remember, these people are religious people in Jerusalem, that's scriptures. Because they knew him not, nor yet the voice of the prophet. Look how the scripture takes you back to the prophets. What happened? They didn't know this, they say, to see that this is this. Because they didn't know, he says, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. The ones that they were reading, these scrolls, that's the ones that are condemning him where he came. You think of that. Why? Because there was no revelation. That's the book of Acts 13:27. They condemn him. Why? Because they knew him not. And what they were doing? They were reading the scrolls. They knew about it. All of you in the synagogue, stand up. We're going to... You'll never see it. I'll never see it. He has to do it. Listen to this. Which none of the princes, 1 Corinthians 2:8, which none of the princes of the world knew. For had they known him, it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Here he comes to fulfill it. They are reading what's going to happen, but they cannot see what it happened. I'm wondering sometimes if when we see revelation, we look at it and we say, what is revelation? The people think all of a sudden, oh, the prophet had a revelation. I agree with you. But before you start giving quotes and splicing them, can you bring them to the content of the scriptures to know what it's all about? We are in trouble. We are doing what we're not told not to do. Splicing this, splicing this, splicing that. By the time we get through, we cannot even bring back the scriptures. You hear them? Oh, I'm taking the fresh manna. How do you like? Paul just said, I'm taking the fresh manna. This fresh manna is the prophecy of this. Look for a minute something. What did the prophet said will be? Let me go probably Revelation 10. I'm not going 1 to 6, just 7, okay? Just don't start on that. Revelation 10, 7. I'm going to see something now, okay? Listen to what he said here. If I see something that you disagree, that's what I see, okay? That's what I see. Let me read it and translate it. Alentisimeres tis phonis tu evdomo angelo. But in the days, singular tense, of the voice of the seventh angel. Just remember, he didn't promise you are the days of the life of the seventh angel, by the days of the voice of the seventh angel. And we hear the voice right now on the tapes. Am I right? It's there. I didn't put it there. It has been always there. Otan melisalpizin, when he will be trumpeting a certain sound. Remember, was not an uncertain sound, was a certain sound to prepare a bride. Right? Do you agree with that? We have a message. Salpizo. Salpix means a trumpet. Gives a certain sound, like when you're in the army. You get up in the morning, you hear the trumpet, you better get up and go. At night, you better keep quiet. It's 11 o'clock. Listen to what he says. Και τελέστη το μυστήριον του Θεού. And the mystery, what's a mystery? From the word mysterion, who means you cannot figure it out before. Now that mystery is terminated. Why? Because the veil is going to be removed. But the mystery was in there. If you want to find out more about that, go to the Apostle Paul, when he refers to the book of Romans 16:25. That mystery in singular tense is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, listen to what it says. Os evangelisen, evangelizo means ev is good, angelo is good news. That's where the angel comes from, angelo, angelos. Good news. And this came historically from the old time that they used to have walls around the city. And the guard was sitting there. If he takes a trumpet, a certain sound. Get ready, the enemy's coming. Even though the enemy says, what kind of what's happening? He blows the trumpet, he says, Evangelo, good news. Somebody brings good news. Now, Evangelison, and he brought the good news to say, two vilus to prophetas. As it was announced, ours was declared to his servants, the prophets. The seventh messenger, that's right here, let's say now, right here, he cannot add to these books, all the New Testament, but he has to declare as it was to the servants, the prophets. Did you see that? One Bible, one God, one Lord, one baptism. What is the problem? Brother Branham has to declare as it was to the servants, the prophets. You pull back, you say, Brother David. Example, Malachi 4:6. You say about to turn the hearts of the children to the Pentecostal fathers. That word turn is the verb epistrepho. To turn, strepho means to turn. Epistrepho, to return back to the same common place. That's Pentecost. We have a real message here. We don't have to worry about these birds. You know? We have it right here. As it was, I was reading, I don't know if I have it here, I was reading this afternoon. Listen to this. The time had come when Brother Branham was talking about the seal, the seventh seal. Okay? You know how the people are. Brother Branham, should we take the scripture or the message? What would you do with a message without the content? Tell me, what's the matter with us? I just cannot conceive it. My mind is floating. Am I living in insanity? I feel like I'm in a mental institution and tell them, where is the door? I want to get out of here. So they went over to Brother Branham. Brother Branham answered them. He says, now someone said, well, the seven seals, then Brother Branham, that will be revealed in the last days, some great mystery, how we get closer to God. Sounds good. Brother Branham says, no, sir. This is what he says. It cannot be. Whosoever shall take one word out of what? Out of this book. His part will be taken from the book of life. What it is a revelation. Listen to what he says. On what has been missed back there. That's what I'm talking about. Right? To bring, he says, it's already wrote here. It's in here. It's to be revealed what's already been written. See? Because you can't add one thing to it or take one word from it. I'm just wondering, myself first and all of us, if we take all these brainstorm splicing doctrines and reason, what do we really do sometimes? We look at an eagle. We look at an eagle has two legs, wings, a beak, two eyes. Observe him. Praise God, that's an eagle. You go see a chicken, has the same thing. Then if that eagle is flying, praise God, a chicken has to fly. A chicken is a chicken and an eagle is an eagle. Don't mix it together. You see, if we just leave the message alone, that verb epistrepho, you're going to turn back to the same common point that you started. If I'm right here, I'm standing, and I was right here, and I found myself somewhere back there or somewhere, when it says return, epistrepho, strepho is turn, epistrepho means I have to turn back to the same common point where I started. And where did you start it? At Pentecost. Such a perfection in the Word. I don't want to get into it. When you start studying the last day's message, Brother Brown told me that time on the car when he showed me, he said, David, the function of the ministry, remember, is to take the message to the Scriptures. That's what he said to me. I think he mentioned that in the tape, Path of Life. He says, David, that's what's supposed to be done. What do you think today, if we throw away all our ideas, because this is an eagle, and this is a chicken, and it has two wings, the chicken has to fly. Praise God, hallelujah, I got the revelation. Why the revelation? The chicken is going to fly like an eagle. What about if we back up a little bit and throw all our ideas away? And go to Jesus. He says, Jesus, be merciful to me.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I don't understand all these things, but I just want you. You're my life. You save me. You help me. You separate me from the world. I see your word being fulfilled in the last days. Here's Malachi 4:6. Here's Revelation 10:7. Here's all these things. I better don't read it, but because of the scripture, I will read you a verse. It just came to me. Let's go to Colossians for a minute and look one verse. The second chapter. 18th verse, 2:18. Let no man beguile you, of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. Wow. That will make you straight up to say how many were worshiping Brother Branham instead of Jesus Christ. Correct? Are we getting the warning? He says, intruding unto those things which they have not seen, vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind. I'm wondering if our problems is because we don't understand what a revelation is, and we don't look to see. He said this. If I don't see it, let's wait until he reveals it. Then the people can put their finger right here. He said this. Here it is. Would it be nice? I believe probably 90% of the problems will be gone. Like Brother Derek said, you know, sometimes our problem is just we are the problems. Make a mess. And not everybody can go back. It takes a great man and a great woman to go back and say, listen, let me look at the scriptures for a minute. Let me look what the Word of God has to say. I'll give you a drastic statement that was said by Brother Branham. If I have it here, listen to this. He was speaking on the third seal about that. Listen. Now John, he sees him on the black horse. He charged something else. Now he says, I have to say this, just the way it come to me. And then, and if it come to me and didn't compare with the rest of the scripture, then God never gave it. Have you ever stopped sometimes to see the boys with 15 books try to impress somebody out there in the message? I appreciate the message. I do what I can for the message, but I'm not impressed with that. Well, I'm impressed. Take that and bring it in this book if you can. If you cannot, stand still and keep silence. Confusion. Listen to what he said to them now. See, the scriptures has to be every one, he says. It's just one great big thing. Like that, scriptures has to agree with scriptures. Now listen to the statement. He says, in everything contrary to the scriptures, if the angel of the Lord told me anything that wasn't scriptural, I wouldn't believe him. What? The angel of the Lord? Yes, because of the complete Bible. The complete word. Revelation removes the veil, like in the days of Paul, to see the Old and the New Testament is right here. He wrote 13 epistles. Brother Brown, what did he say? I got a new revelation? No. He says, I preach every word that Paul preached. You remember that? Why not Peter? Peter was to the Jew. Correct? I preach every word. You see, no matter what you do, you cannot get away from the cross of Calvary. Crucified with Christ, die. The Magna Carta you see of the scripture sometimes, I think, is Romans 6. If we have been buried, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And you hear the people chatter around you. You say, no, I want to be crucified with Christ. I don't want to live anymore. My thoughts not has to go. I want to make sure that I talk to him. That's all. I'm not an audience to the cross. I'm in the cross with Jesus. Paul in 1 Corinthians calls, by the preaching of the cross, not the preaching, friends, or logos to Stavrou, by the word of the cross. That word speaks through the cross and calls the lost. You go there, you get saved. You see, you don't know what's happening to you. Can you explain your salvation? The only thing you can explain externally, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't go there, I don't do this. But can you explain what God has done for you in there? The only thing you know that something changed in you. But it's God that does it. God leads you to repentance. In Romans 2:4, it's the goodness of God that will restore this, whom in the Christ nature, the Christ-like of God, remember, place the Christ-like in God, that leads you to the repentance. That word of the world, whom is like a dog leading somebody. There you go. You don't know where you're going. Now you know where you finish? In the arms of Jesus. Fights, farces, trials, testings, this and that, by the time you get through, I seek God. God was seeking for you, boy. What you were seeking for God. And all of a sudden, that godly sorrow comes that leads to repentance. Gets a hold of you. The people look at you. Oh, look at him. He's screaming. He's crying. What's the matter? The other person, look at him. Oh, we don't need any noise here. You know, we are such and such. But the person is getting saved. It's the goodness of God, the Christos, the Christness of God in God, that mercy that leads you to repentance. Then he takes you from there for the Holy Ghost. You know, in Acts 2:39, when it says, this promise unto you and to your children, to them that's far off, as many as the Lord has called, that word called, kalo, is a court case, a court word that means subpoena. God put something in you. I need the Holy Ghost. I don't care what these people say. I need the Holy Ghost. How do you know it? I'm a mess. I'm failing him all the time. I need the promise of the power. This you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost will come on. And you shall be witness, and not witness, the word martyrs, who mean you'll be able to stand to death and still go on. Let's don't get into this thing, because we have to go. The time is up. The little boy said, over. So, I hope we got something tonight, right? I hope I didn't offend anybody. Friends, we got a message. I was looking at it when Brother Bram was alive. And I see all this stuff going on, and this and that, and this and that. We got it, and so on. Poor Brother Brown was keep on going. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. Do you know God does things? And if it's in your heart, not in your heart right, he leads you to be destroyed. Do you know that? There are two messages in a message. Can you tell me? Listen what happens now. Let me kind of say this, brother. Here's the people of Israel who go back to Corinthians and says, this is your example. You go back to Romans for a minute and listen what it says here. Now, that's my prototype and your prototype. What do we have to watch? Go to Romans. I'm sorry, Romans. The 11th chapter, the 21st verse. For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed. You see that is written in italic in your Bible there? You know what that take heed means? It's not there. You know what it says? Lest he also spare you. He says, he will not spare you. What happened to the Jew is going to happen to the Gentile. Because we start messing around, fussing and arguing. You say, Brother David, what will be the end? Listen to the end. Closing. Everything was beautiful now. Moses gets ready to do something for God. And that something was to go up to the mountain. Okay? Take the commandments. The Decalogue. Deca is 10. Logos is the 10 statements. Well, the 32nd chapter of Exodus, we close with a painful experience here. How careful it's supposed to be. If it says, I have to watch it, I better watch it. Now, the third verse, what they wanted, a golden calf, right? Who gave it to them? Aaron. Who was Aaron? The only high priest in the scriptures, that's a type of Christ, the only high priest in the scriptures that the oil was poured instead of just being anointed. That's Aaron. He says, boys, you want a golden calf? Get your earrings. Get all the gold you have. Let's melt it. Let's do it. The scripture says in the third verse, and all the people break off their golden earrings and so on. Moses came up the mountain. He sees the mess. Well, the 13th verse, remember Abraham and so on. Now Moses on the 21st verse, and Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great sin upon them? Listen to what Aaron said now. And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, and they are set in mischief. He gave them what they wanted, right? He gave them what they wanted. Now you say, Brother David, and what happened then? Now listen, God is ready now to destroy them. Moses stepped in on the 32nd verse. Yet now, he says, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. Moses says, blot my name out of the book of life. Moses, you can say anything you want to, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do, God says, because I'm God. Listen to what God has done. Therefore now, he says on the 32nd verse, and the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever, what was this whosoever? All of them. Were they or not? He says, whosoever have sinned against me, him I will blot out of my book. Now listen to the strange part. Because we in the message are supposed to have more reverence in the leading of the Lord, the pillar of fire and everything. Now, God says now, therefore now, after he wiped them out, therefore now, he says, go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, my angel shall go before thee. The angel of the Lord, the angel of the covenant, the pillar of fire, is leading these people now to die in the wilderness, and they did. Brother, you better repent. We're messing up. The angel of the Lord was leading these people now to leave their carcasses in the wilderness. I imagine they got up the next morning. Here's the pillar of fire. Praise God. Here's Adonai. Here's David. Everything. Jehovah is with us. But remember, God says you're wiped out. Are they finished? Our reverence is so small sometimes. To God's assembly, to God's people, to God's ministries, it's just the whole thing, the chaos. You say, Brother Dave, is that all? No, lots of it. You study the scriptures. Do you know that Brother Brown concealed things from the people by comparison? Do you know that? The people go to Moses. Moses! Give us the bill of divorcement. Moses knew their heart. Is that what you want? Fine. Have it. He gave it to them. Did he? Did he say why? Never. Not even one word. Until Jesus came and he says, because of the hardness of your heart, but from the beginning it was not so. You agree with that? Is it serious or not? But from the beginning. Then Brother Abraham comes. Now to my people only, to the ones that follow my message, he said. Moses found himself in that condition, he tells them. So the same condition for Paul, So though I find myself in the same condition, nobody stops to think what was the condition that was the hardest of the heart, and the people think everything's all right now. You see, there's a message to the bride within the message. Remember that. There are fish and loaves all over. It's serious gospel. I see it and I'm scared. I'm sorry to get into the last few things. Probably I should just keep these things to myself and go. That shows us our sincerity to face God. I cannot handle it. I cannot. Sometimes you go, not here, you go to other meetings. The only thing is, it's just an entertainment. I'm sick about it. I said, leave me alone. I'll stay home. I have been criticized, Brother David, you're selfish. You stay home. Blah, blah, from the preachers. I said, no, I cannot handle it. I just had it. I'm hurting inside. Because it seems to me the spirit of repentance is gone. The only thing we know, play them the movie, accept, sit on the pew, no repentance, the sins are still there. No Calvary, no nothing like that. You know what I'm talking about, right? Accept. We water it down. So I pray that what was said tonight, I know I took too much of your time. I apologize for it. I should stay 45 minutes, and that's it. That's why I'm writing down things, so I don't have to run that like I did the last things that I shouldn't be running. But it's so serious right now. Friends, ask yourself this. How much of man's revelation, how much have been hybrid in this message, and I received it without checking it with this book? How much? Remember, I'm supporting the message 100%, but not splicing quotes to do anything we want to. It has to come to this book to stay pure. It has to come right here. I had a man writes for the national newspaper. He came over here to be introduced by another man. I didn't know the man. I shook his hand. We talked about it. He writes for a national U.S. newspaper. And he said, I have a little fellowship in my home. He says, we have just a few people. And we get together, listen to tape and so on. And I realized he was in the message. And I couldn't figure out what he was. You know, I said, I better just plow around to find out what he's doing anyway. I says, brother, you know what I'm going to do? He said, what? He said, I'm going to put in my pulpit a little sign that says, please do not bring any quotes from the message unless you can bring them to the scriptures. Amen. The man looked at me, got white in his face. Do you believe that? I said, yes. He said, I thought I was the only one. I said, no, I believe that all the time. Because that's what a revelation is, isn't it? To do our homework. I'm not talking about a statement to just be good and so on. I'm talking about serious doctrines that we form. You know, let's make a distinction to that. Because it can become so legalistic that we're afraid to say Brother Branham said this. I'm not on that level, not at all. But the man looked at me, he says, Brother David, you come to my place to preach? I said, Brother, I don't know, I'll pray about it. He's many times people who say that we're going to pray and we don't do it. He says, are you going to do it or not? He was serious about things. Friends, now you know a little bit about what a revelation is. You agree with me? Amen. How many of you understood a little more about revelation? So now, I don't know who you are, what you're doing. But I'm going to pray, to close with prayer. You don't have to come to the altar. Some of you might be beat up, confused, and he said this, she said that, they said this, and they said that. What about, I will ask you to raise your hand. You know what I do? I close in a word of prayer to pray so God will help us to center ourselves in Jesus Christ. Christ and Him crucified. Not commercials, but Christ and Him crucified. You see, Brother David, I don't know what to do. This person says, the other person says, just forget for a minute what they say. Go to the feet of Jesus and stand still. I like when they drag that woman to Jesus and She stood still. You never have a record of any. We found her in the very act of adultery. Drag her down. I like what she did. She just stood still. You know, you stand in the presence of Jesus and all these Pharisees will dissolve. The only thing will be left, Christ and Him crucified. You say, I want to die to myself. I don't want to live anymore but Christ in me. Don't tell me anything that is anything that could criticize or this or that. I'm not in the market to support anybody but Jesus. Leave me alone. Because they'll never leave you alone. They'll crucify you. You say, what have I done anyway? Oh, this and this and this and that. Just a minute. Let's go to the Word. Brother, we got a fresh manna and so on. Okay, tell me about the fresh manna. Where's in the Scriptures? What's the matter with you? We have a prophet. Now we don't need a Bible. That's what I'm going to tell you. Because they don't know what revelation is. The unveiling. The removal of the veil. That's where the word hypocrite came from. They cover, put somebody that's not. When they remove what he had to see who he is, then that's the unveiling. One time, Brother Branham was sitting downtown in L.A., and he said to me, David, he says, what's everything else all right? I said, yeah. I said, Brother Branham, a scripture that I was reading, and I don't know if it's the right area that I'm working. He says, what is it? I says, you remember the time of Rebecca? He says, yes, David. I said, you remember when she saw Isaac? The first thing she did, she veiled her head. She presented a body without a head. You think of that. The long hair of the woman is to confess Christ as your groom. It's not because you measure how many inches your hair is long. It's to cover you, correct? And what is it? He said to me, David, listen, that's the bride. That's the bride. He says, we better veil ourselves before Jesus, say he's our head. We better do that, David, he said to me. I said, praise the Lord. Anyway, praise the Lord. Now we're going to pray. How many of you like to be remembered in prayer? Let's bow our heads and you raise your hand and we'll pray. God bless you, all of you, Lord, in the place. Let's pray. Amen, amen, sister. Anybody else? God bless you, brothers. I see a sister down there. It's one, all of us. God bless you, brother. Lord Jesus, this morning we heard some great things, Lord. Lord, we are standing helpless, Lord. I'm not preaching to others, Lord. I'm preaching to myself because I'm guilty in so many of these things. Please, Lord, forgive me. Forgive my brothers and sisters. Help us to rise up above all the messes and look to you. Oh, Calvary's cross. Calvary's cross, I wish if we could just get every one of us right there to be crucified with Christ. Lord, forgive us, Lord. The young people, Lord, confused, pushed around. Lord, be merciful. I don't know how to pray, Lord. I'm just ignorant. But, Lord, you know our hearts, each one of us praying. Thank you, Lord, for the ministers here, the brothers, the sisters. Heal the wounded ones, Lord. Heal the ones that are confused. Help them, Lord Jesus, to take the road to Calvary and they will never miss anything else. But just they'll know you and the power of your resurrection, the fellowship. Lord, we love you. Keep us, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the people, what they have done for this meeting. Each one of them, what they contribute. Lord, it's to just worship you. To be with one another. To taste how it's going to be on the other side. Loving one another and go on with you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know how to close, Brother Searle has to take care of that.